Scripture reading this evening will be Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You may be seated.
Good evening, church. So I am excited for a lot of reasons. And I wish I could just share with you all of those reasons I'm excited. I think a lot of it might have to do with I gave myself a second cup of coffee this afternoon. I also got an extra hour of sleep last night and an extra cup of coffee. So by the end of the sermon, I might be floating off of the stage a little bit. Don't be worried. It's probably just the caffeine. I'm excited for a lot of reasons. Sometimes I feel like when, you know, it gets to the preaching part of our worship, which, by the way, we don't just come here for preaching. We're here to worship God through the entirety of our time together, all right? But sometimes maybe when it comes to the preaching, as we call it, especially for those of us who have been a part of God's church and have been with worshipers for years and years and years and years, and some of us even more years and years and years and years. I'm not looking at anybody. You hear the same stuff. You might even hear it repeated. And you might be tempted to just zone out and tune out because you know this one. Well, if I were to say to you or any child in the audience, let's talk about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. What's the first thing that you're thinking? You're putting your fists together and you're pounding those babies just like this because you're trying to build that house upon the rock. And boy, I wish we could do more for our children right now. It's tough right now with what we have going on. But your kids are probably thinking wise men built his house upon the rock. You're probably thinking wise men built his house upon the rock. Or you're thinking, yeah, I know it, I get it, no big deal. So recently, I got to speak with a stranger who I saw at a park. And there was about four men that I didn't know, but it looked like they were praying and studying something. So I had to go over and talk to them. There's just no stopping it. Once I see that, I'm making a beeline to those people. So I walk over and I'm speaking with those people and we're, you know, explaining some different things about what they're studying, about what I'm doing with the group of people, all these things. And he gets to telling me about this parable, the wise man built his house upon the rock. He said, I'm going to test you to see if you know your stuff. I was like, oh no, a Bible test. No. He said, what did Jesus say the entire point of that illustration was? I said, easy, firm foundation. Simple, firm foundation. He said, is that what Jesus said specifically? I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. Do you know? We'll get to that in just a minute. All right, so this is such a popular story and a popular illustration that people have even gone about illustrating it in a ton of different ways. This is probably the modern version of the wise men built his house upon the rock. I don't think people had that type of a home back in Jesus' day. And I could go on and on. This one's a bit more clear. Solid foundation, it stands. Weak foundation, it doesn't stand. Several other things. This was an incredibly sad depiction of a home that is literally being carried away by a flood. It gets even more telling as people will illustrate within the pictures, and you can look at these images and know what it's talking about, that the rock stands in any home that's built on it. And so all these illustrations that paint the picture of the wise man who built his house upon the rock. But what I want us to understand is the point Jesus was trying to make. And what his first century audience may have thought when they first heard those words, because it might come to you as a surprise. I'm excited tonight to share this with you because it was new to me this weekend. I'm not saying I know everything, but I've heard this story. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. And this was brand new. It might be new to you as well. So in Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 7, it says that Jesus went up on the mount. And this is where he had the sermon that we call On the Mount. Well, if you are like me and you're not really good at all the other accounts of Jesus' life, you may not know that in Luke chapter 5, 6, and 7, there's a parallel account of this sermon, or at the very least, a repeat of this sermon that Jesus could have told a few months later. Some Bible scholars even go so far as to say this, that while in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it was Jesus' sermon on the Mount, over in Luke chapter 6, he preached a sermon called the Sermon on the Plain. And here's why some Bible scholars say that. If you're looking in Luke chapter 6, verse 17, here's what the Bible says. After picking the 12 apostles, listen to the word imagery applied to Jesus. Verse 17, and he came down with them, and he stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon. All those who came came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, those who were troubled and all these different people with all these different infirmities sought him out. But notice the wording that he was on a level plain. This could have been the case that on the mountainous region there was a plateau-like effect. So one author describes it as up on the mountain, while another author describes it as he went down to a level plain, yet still on the mountain. It doesn't matter. Here's what I think is cool. This is how I used to view the wise man who built his house upon the rock. Is this how you used to view it, or how you still view it to this day? That to be built on the rock, you brought in the boulders and you brought in the stones. At the very least, you found a large formation of stones and you went up on the stone, and that's where you built the house to give the firm foundation. You're not shaking your head yes or no. So maybe this is just Austin's story that everybody else knows. What if this is the case, though? There was something a bit deeper to the meaning and to the understanding of Jesus' words from his first century audience by the Sea of Galilee, as Danny Pettis talked about a couple weeks ago, the Lake of Gennesaret, or Kinnereth, as some translations might say. What if there's something deeper? So this is a picture of one of the coasts of the Sea of Galilee. And way down towards the sea, you see that little strip of sand. Well, here are a couple of statements that people have made about that place. This is Josephus, a Roman historian. He said Lake Gennesaret as everywhere ending in pebbly or sandy beaches. So rocks were present. Here's the finding from a book called The Archaeology in the Biblical World, that excavations in the late 1970s unearthed this basalt stone bedrock that was apparently used for the foundations of buildings and homes in Jesus' time. Excavations, meaning they dug down and found this stuff. I thought this one was really neat. In February 21st of 1978, the Israel Water Systems put in a channel for some pipes in the area of the Tel El Araj, and at a depth of 3 meters under the water table, they found a carved basalt stone of different sizes, and they appeared to be a part of the foundation of some building, 3 meters below that water level. So whereas I used to think that you had to go up on the rock, what if Jesus, when he said, the person who hears my words and does them is like the wise man who built his house upon the rock, not the man who climbed up to the top of the rock, but the man who rather saw the sand foundation and decided to dig down deeper. And what if in the story of the wise man who built his house upon the rock, we need to dig just a bit deeper. And what if in our relationship with each other and with God and His Word, we need to dig just a bit deeper? I did quite a bit of reading of some archaeology and some archaeological finds. And as they were trying to describe that first century culture, when Jesus was in this area and He was searching and finding, and then also when He was preaching to the people who had this shoreline in view, here's what was said. During certain parts of the year, the sea would do this. The lake would go like this. It would go down. And so what was left during those seasons was an extended and a larger shoreline upon which people would go and build. But because of the dryness of it, and it was at one point covered with water, it was beat down and compressed, and it became pretty hard. And so when the water decreased and went away, it seemed to be a firm foundation. But in the wet part of the year, the season would come, the water would rise. Guess what? People who thought they had built their home on a firm foundation, it slowly started to erode from under them. Because they took what looked at the surface level to be firm. Without digging down deeper and investigating further, the bedrock, solid foundation of stone and rock. And I wonder if when Jesus gave this illustration and word imagery, He knew in their minds that they were thinking of old Uncle Joe, who built that house last year on the sand for that family, but then when the water rose, it came and destroyed the house. But they knew about that other person who built in town that spent the time with great energy and effort and intentionality to dig down deeper. Why? Because the wise builder was looking ahead to the storms that are coming. The wise builder recognized you can't look at things at surface level, but you've got to dig down deeper. The wise builder knows that in order to rest easy at night, I've got to connect firmly to the rock in which I will stand. I wonder if Jesus was aware of what His audience would understand as the wise builder. And maybe tonight, we need a message of digging just a little bit deeper with things we've grown accustomed to. So I've got a couple of thoughts for each of us. And by the way, Luke chapter 6 supports this idea of digging just a bit deeper. Maybe you had not seen this. I have not at least recognized it until prepping for tonight. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 47 and 48. This is Luke's account. Everyone who... Oh, wait. I hear pages turning. Man, I so love that. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who, in the ESV, dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. I had not seen that before until this moment. Oh, not this moment. A couple hours ago when I changed my sermon. Isn't that neat? Maybe we've been a Christian for some time. And maybe we've grown accustomed to thinking we know what we know and that it's all right. Maybe we've grown accustomed to the relationships that we have and we feel good about where we are. Maybe we've grown content as a church to be where we are, not to push and pursue and stretch ourselves out of our comfort zone. Maybe we've been a Christian for so long that the Word of God has become something we've grown a bit callous to, that, oh, I got it. I understand at least some of it. And maybe tonight, we need the message of digging down deeper. You know, my first thought, an immediate thought, which is not appropriate for the context, but would you give me some grace and let me go there for just a minute? Maybe in my relationship with others, I need to dig deeper. You know, this COVID stuff has challenged us in many ways. I tell people often, I think this pandemic has done a lot, but the thing it's done the most is let our weaknesses shine as people. I think what it's expressed to the world most clearly is our imperfections as people. So maybe in my relationships with others, I need to dig a little bit deeper, which means I need to work a little bit harder. Relationships were hard in the first place, and now look at our culture. Look at what people are asking us to do. Look at all the differences in opinions and thoughts, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to go down that way the whole time of this sermon, but we need to dig a little bit deeper in our relationships, which means we need to give more grace to people, which means we need to give time and understanding in conversation with people. It means we need to be better at being okay with having the differences of opinions. We need to dig deeper. And that's okay. We need to dig deeper. Maybe we need to dig deeper into new relationships. You know, we've had so many new people start worshiping with us at the Florence Boulevard Church over the past 6 months. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. I keep tabs on everybody. But I kind of try and keep names of everybody that I meet. I've gone back and counted up to 32 new people in the past 6 months. Have you met all 32 yet? Are we a group of people that are seeking new relationships and digging deeper into old ones? Maybe not, but maybe it's time. How about this? Digging deeper in my knowledge of the Word. I would love to know how long you have been a Christian. I would love to know how long your relationship has been alive in Christ with our Father God. And for some of us, it might be just a little while. Others, it might be decades and decades, so long you don't even remember when it happened. Well, when that's the case, oftentimes we grow comfortable with what we know instead of seeking and pursuing, like we talked about this morning, more, deeper. So here are a couple things if you need to grow deeper in your knowledge of the Word of God, because everybody can do this. Here's some things I found here recently. 6 questions to ask as you study Scripture. Which, by the way, are you studying Scripture at home? I know some of you are. I appreciate that so much. That's one of my greatest weaknesses, is studying the Word, being in God's Word, and not preparation for a sermon or a Bible class. That's one of my biggest weaknesses right there. I have an accountability partner on Thursday morning. We haven't met in a couple weeks, and guess what I have not done in a couple weeks? Been in the Word of God for my own sake, on my own time. Maybe you're like me and it's a weakness. Maybe you're somebody who just doesn't know how. I want to, but I don't know how to. I've heard so many different things. Here are 6 questions. What does the Bible tell me about God? What does it tell me about people? Does it tell me a sin to avoid, a promise to claim? Maybe some example to follow or a command that I must obey. These are 6 questions to guide you as you open up the Word of God. There are so many things out there. So many Bible study methods with surveying and exploring and discovering and responding. So many different things you can download, you can write out, you can put within the pages of your Bible. But you know what it takes? It takes a little time, a little energy, and a little effort. Maybe the message we need is it's time for some of us to dig a little bit deeper. With the time, the energy, and the effort we devote to Christian living. Back in the context of Luke chapter 6, why did Jesus give the word picture of the wise man who built his house upon the rock? And as I was speaking to the guy in the park, and he gave me the Bible test, and I was so convinced that it was a firm foundation, but then he said, "Is that what Jesus said?" And I thought, I don't know. I had to go back and look at it myself. Because here is what Jesus said, both in Matthew 6, Luke 7 and Luke 6. The one who hears my word and does them is like this man in this illustration. The entirety of the illustration is to showcase the person who is wise among us is the one who not just hears the words of Jesus, but works to put them into practice. Did you know that Christianity is not just an exercise in academia and knowledge? Did you know that Christianity is not just about what you know? We won't get to the pearly gates with our Lord and Savior and Him ask us, now here's the multiple choice test of all the doctrines that we hold. But rather, every word and deed will need to be given account of. Word and deed. Because Christianity is a lifestyle of action. I love that in John's account of Jesus' life, this idea of believe is inundated throughout the pages. Depending on the translation you use, the word is used some 90 to 100 times within the pages of John. And guess what the word believe is translated as always? A verb. Because if you believe, you will live. If you have faith and believe in Jesus, it's not just an academic pursuit of knowledge, but rather a lifestyle to act accordingly. Maybe we need to dig deeper within ourselves with the time and the energy and the effort devoted to Christian living. What did Jesus say the verse before the wise men built his house upon the rock? Do you know? In Luke 6, verse 46, here's what he said. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Jesus wanted his people to be a group of doers, not hearers only, as James said in James chapter 1, verse 22. Or as James said later in James chapter 2, I believe it's like verse 26, how faith without what? Works is dead. Thank you, church. What are you doing? That's my question to you. What are you doing outside of these 2.5 hours we assemble together within these walls? What are you doing outside of the hours you're gathering around a television, laptop, or phone, engaging in online worship? What are you doing? Is it time that you dig a little bit deeper with the time and the energy and the effort devoted to Christian living? What if Jesus might be calling to some of us tonight? Why do you call me Lord, but you're not doing what I'm asking you to do? Isn't it true that Jesus asked us to seek and save the lost? When's the last time you had a conversation with a non-Christian? Isn't it true that Jesus asked you to go visit, to check in on people who are of a lower estate than us? When's the last time you did it? Isn't it true that Jesus has asked us through the pages of the Word of God to uplift and to encourage one another? When's the last time you gave a positive message to a brother or sister in Christ? When's the last time you did it? Jesus said, don't call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I ask you to do. The wise man built his house upon the rock. What did he do? He dug a little bit deeper. Man, I've been thinking about that all weekend. Maybe it's time in your life, outside of these walls, you dig a little bit deeper. It might be a relationship. You need to dig a bit deeper. It might be a knowledge of the Word of God. You need to dig a little bit deeper. It definitely is this. Each one of us with time, energy, and effort. You know what I love about the illustration of digging a little bit deeper? Is there an end? Is there a limit to how far a person can dig in this earth? Well, eventually, yes, because you're going to get so deep you'll die. But is there a limit to the amount a person can go down in the earth? I haven't hit that limit yet. For what I know, every shovel gets another scoop. So no matter if I'm a surface level person, a 2 foot deep person, a 5 feet deep type of person, or I'm all the way 6 feet under, I'm digging deeper. What's that tell me tonight? That no matter where you are as a Christian, there's more time, there's more energy, and there's more effort that can be given. Now, I've given you several arenas in which to put that time, energy, and effort. You might come up with a new one. If that's the case, let me know about it. Let's talk about it. Let's pursue that area together. Tonight, it's important that we learn the message of digging a little bit deeper and coming in close connection and contact to that rock bed relationship with our Lord. Why? Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder. I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. So let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, judgment, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Scripture tells us clearly and plainly, not just here, but also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, that every word and deed will need to be given accounted for when we reach the judgment seat of Christ. The question you can ask yourself tonight is this. With the story you've heard time and time again that we sing about in Pew Packers, that people draw illustrations that are fun and cute, one in which VBSs are centered upon, you've heard it time and time again. Is it time to dig deeper? Because what are you doing for our Lord? I hope you can answer that question with a statement, all that I can. And if you're not, it might be time to dig a bit deeper within yourself. Muster up the courage to confess you haven't been doing much. And you want to get back up and get back on the path working for the Lord in sacrificial service for the kingdom of heaven. We want to help you dig a little bit deeper. We want to dig down deeper together. Nobody is on this journey alone, but meant to be lived as a Christian in community. Let us be your spiritual family that lifts you up and encourages you. And if you want to become a Christian, first you've got to dig down deeper, meaning, have I contacted the blood of Jesus and the watery grave that we call baptism and let God forgive me and save me and add me to his church? It might be that your journey starts right there. Whatever the case may be for you, we want to help you as we stand and sing this song together.